Well, it is three more sleeps till Christmas. And that means that for some in this room, it is two more sleeps until you start your Christmas shopping. We all know that it's true. We all know that there are some who like to leave it to the last minute. Funnily enough, growing up, my dad always happened to have something on in the afternoon of Christmas Eve about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when he remembered. As we, over the last couple of weeks, we have been engaging with the Christmas story, a story that many of us know well. Many of us have heard it time and time again. And sometimes it can be hard with a story that you know so well to come back to it. There's almost this feeling that we have to receive something new, something fresh each time we come to it. And this week, as I've been preparing this message, I've just been challenged by that idea a little bit. Because sometimes when we come to the Christmas story, it's not about encountering something new. Sometimes it's being reminded of the truths that we already know. And so my prayer today, as we enter into this space, as we explore the Christmas story, my prayer is that God might reveal something to you fresh, or remind you of an old comfort for you to hold on to this Christmas. Today, we're looking at Luke chapter 2 and starting at verse 8. Let's have a look. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." If we jump down to verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the Christmas story. This is the hope that we have of a newborn king. And when I look at this story, I am very grateful that I get to look at it from this perspective of history. Because for those shepherds there that night, they were excited. They were overwhelmed with joy at what was happening, but they only understood a small part of it. Because we see through Scripture that even though they knew that this was the Messiah, even though there were these prophesied names about who Jesus was, there wasn't a full understanding. But as we look back, as we see this story, we see the hope that is contained within it. We see that this newborn king is going to grow up to have a powerful ministry, reaching out to people, returning people to God, teaching people about who God is and his desire for them. We know that this baby born in a manger is not just a baby, but this is God himself in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And we know that this baby is one day going to die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. As we look back at this moment, we have this incredible hope because we know what this means so much more than these shepherds did. And yet, there is something beautiful about the hope that these shepherds had. There is something wonderful about the way that they responded here in this moment and in this message. And last week, Gavin looked at this same passage and he looked at the angels. Today, I want to look at the shepherds. And I want to ask the question, what do the shepherds teach us about hope? Because they teach us some incredible things. And Israel has this really fascinating relationship with shepherds. See, Israel have a little bit of a love-hate relationship going on with shepherds. They really love the idea and the concept of a shepherd. Because you think about King David, the king that they always go back to, the king that they always compare everything to, the king of the golden age of Israel. And he started out as a shepherd boy. There is this kind of romantic notion about the shepherd who became king. You think about the patriarchs, Abraham, Jacob, even Moses. They were all shepherds. There's this wonder and love of shepherds. You even look at scripture like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. There's this picture of a shepherd being wonderful. In fact, God is compared to a shepherd. He cares for us. He provides for us. He gives us the things that we need. Israel loved the idea and the picture of shepherds. And they absolutely hated the reality of them. See, shepherds were the outcasts of society. Shepherds were the ones who were pushed to the side. Shepherds lived outside the towns because also that's where the sheep were. But they spent all their time with sheep. They slept with their flocks. And when you spend a lot of time around sheep, you kind of start to take on a little bit of that smell. Every time a shepherd walks past, you get a whiff of that fresh country air. And let's face it, that fresh country air is not so fresh. And so they kind of get pushed to the edges, and they get pushed to the outside. And then because they're kind of already pushed to the outside, it's because they're already on the edges and on the outer, there would be things that might go missing when shepherds have visited a town. Things that weren't quite where you left them. So much so that in Israel, shepherds were not allowed to give testimony. They were, in law, it said that shepherds were not to be trusted to give testimony. They were not trusted to tell the truth. And so you've got this really weird thing going on with Israel where they love the idea, they love the picture and the romantic notions of shepherds, but they really hate the reality. And so when you look at what Luke writes in verse 8 and 9, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping the fresh country air to themselves, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. See, Luke is highlighting something unusual happening here. The angel of the Lord has sought these shepherds out. The angel of the Lord has appeared to them. It has sought them out. It has gone to the people who were the social outcasts, the misfits, the people on the edges, the people who were not trusted to tell the truth, who were considered of poor character. And this is who the angels go to. And this wasn't a case of the angel just showed up on a hill and looked around and went, I'm going to go to those guys. The angel sought these guys out. The angel went first to the shepherds. And this is one of the beautiful truths that we learn about this hope of Jesus from the shepherds. Because from this we see that the hope of Jesus is for everyone. Whether you are somebody who fits in or whether you are somebody who is pushed to the edges and mistrusted. And for many people in this room, this is not a new truth. Many of us have heard it. Many of us are incredibly grateful for it. We know this truth, and yet at Christmas, we are reminded afresh of the beauty of this truth, that Jesus is for everyone, whether they fit in or whether they're on the outside. Because the angels went first to these shepherds. They weren't an afterthought. They weren't an extra. The angels sought them out because God was wanting to give the people a beautiful truth. The kingdom of God is not about shutting people out, but the kingdom of God is about welcoming them in. This newborn baby born in a manger is an invitation into the kingdom of God for all. Even for those who are mistrusted, even for those who perhaps hadn't been to the temple in a long time, especially for those who felt like they didn't deserve it, didn't feel like they were worthy of it. See, when we talk about this newborn king, we talk about the hope that Jesus brings. This is not just hope for those who have the right information. This is not just hope for those who are on the inside or those who are part of a community. This is hope for anyone, for the unseen, for the unnoticed, for the unwanted. God sees. And God reaches out. And God seeks to bring hope to the people who need it. Now, I'm talking about hope, but I want to just clarify something, because the hope that I'm talking about is not hope in the way that the world looks at it. See, when the world looks at hope, thanks to Wikipedia, I got this definition. Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes. When the world talks about hope, it's talking about positive thinking, good vibes, happy feelings. And yet this is not what the angels gave to the shepherds that night. The angels didn't just show up to the shepherds to say, think positively, everything is going to be okay. That's not the way they passed hope on. Reading from verse 10, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" The angels give them a sign. And again, picking it up at verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." The angels didn't just show up and say, think positively and things are going to work out great. Have an optimistic mindset. You'll be set. That's not what they did. They invited the shepherds to test them. They invited the shepherds to check what they were being told. This will be the sign for you. And then, once the angels left, the shepherds, they knew that nobody trusted them or took them at face value. So they went, let's check what these angels have said. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Because there's something different about the hope that we find in Jesus. It's not just optimism. This hope that we have is something that is solid and trustworthy. It's something that is able to be held onto, grabbed hold of. Because there's a difference between hope in the way that the world speaks of it and the hope that the Bible speaks of. Because biblical hope is a trust and an expectation based not on hopeful thinking, but on who God is and what He has done. The hope that we have in Jesus is based not on us just thinking positively, but it's based on the truth and the character of who God is. The angels told the shepherds, go check out this baby born in a manger. This will be the sign. Now, unfortunately, we can't quite go and check it out. I mean, we can go look at a nativity scene, but it's not quite the same. But we still have this solid, trustworthy hope. Because this hope is based off who God is, it's based off His character, it's based off what He's done. And so when we look at Scripture, it is full of promises about who God is. It is full of truth about who God is. It is full of truth about His character and what that means for us. There are promises in there that we know that God is faithful and He will hold to. And so we have Scripture that helps us to develop this hope, this thing that is solid and trustworthy. But we also have our lives. We have our experiences and the experiences of those around us. We have the way that God is at work in us and through us. In our PM services, we often ask those questions of God's stories. You know, where have you seen God at work? Where have you seen God provide for you or someone else? Inspiration, where has God reminded you of something important? Transformation, where has God been transforming you or someone around you? These questions help us to think about our experiences of God. They help us to hold on to who He is. They remind us of His goodness, His faithfulness, the fact that He is at work in our lives. Because I wonder, if you paused and thought back over the last week or month or year or over your life, how many ways and how many times can you see God's faithfulness at work? God reminding you again and again and again, this is who I am. I love you. I care for you. Because each time we have those experiences, each time we engage with that, it builds our hope because we understand who God is a little bit more. This hope that we have becomes this solid foundation. It becomes something that we can hold on to, that we can grip, even when life gets hard. Even when life might fall apart around us, because if it's just positive thinking, when life gets hard, that's not enough. But the hope that we have, the hope that the shepherds had on that night, is based off God's promises. It's based off who God is. It could be tested and checked and seen. And so we hold to this even when things get hard. And so this Christmas, maybe it's an opportunity to pause and reflect and actually ask yourself, where has God been this year? To build that solid hope that we have. Continuing on from verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, it's really interesting that it is the shepherds that we encounter in this story. Shepherds who were not allowed to give testimony that God invites first to come and see the baby Jesus. People who were not trusted at their word, and yet they go. And what comes bubbling out of them is an opportunity to spread the word, to share the news that had been told to them, to share what the angels had shared with them, with those around them. God gave them that honor. Even though if it had been me organizing it, I would have wanted somebody who'd be trusted, somebody who could be taken at value. But God wanted to lift them up, to encourage them. But it also tells us something really important about hope. And that is that hope in Jesus is infectious. And I mean infectious in the good way. Hope in Jesus is something that spreads from person to person with joy. See, these shepherds, they were overcome with joy. They had heard this good news. They had heard about this baby born that gave them hope. And they tested it. And that was confirmed. This hope was solid. And then it all just bubbled out of them. They couldn't help but share what they had heard. They couldn't help but tell others about what they had heard as well. And I love that it says in there that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She hadn't heard what the angels had said to the shepherds. And yet the shepherds came and shared it. And it was something that encouraged Mary. It was something that built Mary up. It was something that continued to give her hope. She treasured it. She held on to it. Because hope in Jesus is infectious. It's something that spreads from person to person. Have you ever had the opportunity to talk to somebody who is hopeful, even when their situation says they shouldn't be? I remember a couple of years ago, there were a couple in our congregation, and the husband was diagnosed with an illness, only a couple of months to live. And so over those couple of months, I took the opportunity to visit them. As his health got worse, I would take round communion and share with them. I'd go round to pray with them. I'd go round to encourage them. But the really weird thing is, every time I went round, intending to encourage them, intending to support them, I left their house with a spring in my step and a smile on my face. Because for this couple, their hope was solid. Even though life was kind of falling apart around them, their hope in Jesus was solid, and they shared that. It gave them a joy that they were able to spread with those around them. I remember the morning that he passed away, and I received a phone call. And I went round to visit and to pray and to just spend time. And she had incredible joy that morning because she knew that her husband was with Jesus. She knew that the pain was gone. And she knew that one day they would be reunited. She had grief, yes, But she also had this incredible joy, this incredible hope and trust and solidness, which was so beautiful. And just that hope that she held in herself spread. And even that day, even on a sad day when he had passed away, I left that house with the peace of Jesus and my own soul being lifted up by the hope that was shared with me in that space. Because this hope that we hold on to, this hope that we have, is not meant to stay with just us. It is infectious. It's meant to be shared with others. We are called to bear this hope out in the world, to share it with others. And the truth is, it doesn't take a lot of words to do that, because it oozes out of us as we hold on to it. Because that's what happened for the shepherds. They oozed their hope out, and it encouraged those around them so that they were built up, so that they were encouraged. Here in the church, we encourage each other as we hold on to the hope that we each have in Jesus, as we share stories of his goodness and his faithfulness. And as we go about our lives, this hope is shared, even with people who may not feel like they deserve it, even with people who may not feel like they're allowed to have it, people who are unseen, unnoticed, unwanted. But of course, we have to choose to take it to them as well. See, the shepherds teach us some incredible things about hope, but my question for you today is, this Christmas, will you choose to give hope to someone else? Is there someone in your world who needs hope? Who needs to, or maybe needs to have more than just positive thinking and needs to know this hope that is, of Jesus, that is solid and trustworthy? Is there someone this Christmas that you can spend time with and let the hope that you hold spread to them in powerful ways? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your kingdom. We thank you that your kingdom is not about shutting people out, but it is inviting people in. Even those who are on the edges, those who are on the outside, those who are unseen or unnoticed or unwanted. Lord, we thank you for the hope that is found in Jesus. This hope that is for everyone, this hope that is solid, that we can hold on to, that we can cling to even when life is hard. And Lord, I just pray that you would help open our eyes to see the people around us who need to hear this hope, who need to be reminded of your truth and of your love and of your faithfulness. Lord, help us to carry your hope and to share it with those around us this Christmas. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.